Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. And we have another wonderful segment coming up. The first segment we had with the women from North Shore Hospital that involved with caregiving, which was a tremendous segment. And now we have with us Elizabeth Robles, from the Alzheimer's Association. And another interesting topic because people aren't paying attention. I mean, somebody with Alzheimer's and all different levels of Alzheimer's, are always at risk and always need a little bit more attention. And now, unfortunately, with COVID, it is even more traumatizing and it's more debilitating for them, in my opinion. So, Elizabeth, good morning, and I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. I had to check the time. It's so different now being at home, right, during this time of quarantine. Got to always double check.
Tell us about what you do in general and how you got involved there with the Alzheimer's Association.
Sure. So I am the community education manager with the Alzheimer's Association Long Island chapter, and I have been with the chapter for 3.5 years now, and I am responsible for education, not only for caregivers and the community at large, but also some other community organizations that may one day come encounter with someone who's living with a form of dementia to help them how to better understand how to recognize the signs and how to work with them.
Okay. And it's so important because nobody in my family, I don't know about you, Otto, has come up, you know, has Alzheimer's, but I do know people who have been affected by it, both the patient and then the family. And it really is no disease is good, but this one is terrible in my mind because it just comes, go ahead, Otto, it just comes little by little.
Well, we have had some family exposure and friends also. And to me, it's probably one of the worst things that can hit anybody. You know, it's not like a one day catch a cold. It can go on for years. And it's not fun to watch and it's not easy to be a caregiver for, I am sure. I've not had to do that as a personal caregiver, but I've witnessed people who have to be caregivers multiple times, and it's brutal to watch, and it has to be terrible to go through. It's not a fun thing.
Right. I had a conversation once, and I don't remember. I don't know if this was something that's talked about within the Alzheimer's Association, or this was just this person's opinion. But I know it was a woman. I can't remember her name. But what she put across was so striking. She said, "You know, you could spend your life with somebody, and you're sleeping with them all your life." And then the day comes when you're only a couple of inches from them, but they're literally miles away. And she said, there's nothing more lonely in the world than to know somebody you love is right next to you. They don't even know you're there. That's years ago I was told that, and it really struck a chord. I'm saying, my God, for somebody to go through that. And you say, good morning, honey. And honey doesn't even know what you're talking about or who you are or whatever. What do you, at this particular time with COVID, Elizabeth, how are people reaching out to you and getting help?
Really great question. And, you know, important point that you made before, how someone, you know, is with someone and the many losses that come with that. And we always like to stress at the association how, yes, there are many losses, but there's still so much living and happy memories to still be made. So at the association, people are reaching out to us by calling our 800 number, 800-272-3900. And on the other end of that helpline, we have our master level care consultants who are there to help people right now during COVID, we've given them some great caregiving tips, especially when it comes to activities that they can do at home, because everyone is staying in to try to stay safe, as well as, you know, just general knowledge about the disease and some tips for them as caregivers on how to relieve stress during this time as well.
I've been studying a little bit here for this segment, and there's so many variations that I never really thought about. There's so many different stages of Alzheimer's. You could be at home, you could be at a residential facility, you could be in a hospital, and I didn't realize or think about all the variations that probably require different approaches depending on what the situation is. What's your advice in terms of how to, you know, handle whatever the situation?
Yeah, so I think you're referring to the different stages. So at the association, we recognize three stages: early, middle, and late stage. And with that, there's different capabilities by the person who's living with the disease and what they're able to do in regards to their daily living activities, in regards to independence as they go through those stages. And we really, you know, discuss the importance of building activities in for them, right? Especially during COVID, really trying to keep them engaged and building on what they're still independent in, because that's very important to maintain for as long as possible. So really analyzing the steps of any activity. And just for example, if it's cooking or baking, right? Maybe they're baking something at the point, figure out what steps they're still able to do independently and still foster that for them. So they're able to still contribute and feel like they're being helpful, because that's what we find that most people who are living with this disease feel like they're losing a lot of their independence and are becoming frustrated with that.
You know, just going back to, you say, living with this disease, one of the things I have witnessed is the difficulty of determining if you do have the disease. And there was a thing I read not long ago that I wanted to ask you about, where they say that there's a blood test that would help determine if you have Alzheimer's. Is this, in your view and the association's view, here, or is it sort of still evolving?
Yes. So very recently, it was announced that now there is a blood test to determine if someone has this disease. However, it is not available in every state just yet, New York being one of those states, but it is out there and available.
Because to me, it seems like that gray area when you see signs, you see things, little memory issues here and there, and maybe kind of getting lost once in a while or whatever. To break that barrier, you know, it's very touchy, I think. Is that an area you get involved with?
Yes, absolutely. So when people, and this is something we always educate everyone in the community about, you know, if you're noticing these signs, right, where we're forgetting how to get places, right, or even forgetting that we had an appointment scheduled, right, it's really important that we get to the doctor as soon as possible, because it might not necessarily be a form of dementia, right? And Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. It can be something else that's presenting itself, like a thyroid issue or any other, blood pressure issues or medication interactions. So we always stress the importance of getting involved with the association and making sure that you get to your physician to go get that assessment done to see what you truly are dealing with. And we do get involved at the very beginning stages of this disease, and even before people know that they have this disease or another form of dementia, that, you know, we are here for them.
Okay.
How accurate is the determination that somebody does have Alzheimer's? I thought they really can't tell.
Yeah, so that was a pretty old myth that we had to wait till someone passed away to do autopsy of the brain. Not so anymore. The assessments that are out have a very high accuracy rate of determining if someone is living with a form of dementia. And, you know, sometimes they're able to narrow it down to which type of dementia they are living with.
Oh, that's tremendous. So therefore, I would assume there's medication per type of dementia, or no?
So there are medications. There's nothing out there yet to cure the disease, nothing to really fix the underlying cause of this disease. But there are medications to help with some of the symptoms that people might be experienced while living with this disease. And, you know, depending on what the symptoms are that are described to the doctor will determine which medications might be prescribed to the person who's living with this disease. And those are generally in three categories, the medications that are prescribed. So you might have something like an Aricept that might be prescribed, or a Namenza or a Namzaric.
And there's, you know, maybe we shouldn't mention a brand name, but maybe I should. You know, something like Prevagen has ads constantly on television and how it's going to make you hunky-dory. But I read about it and hunky-dory doesn't always come out. Your view. I'm not trying to get you into hot water here, but...
No, no, it's a great question. And it's one that we always get when we used to be in the community and now in the virtual world as we're presenting programs virtually. You know, at the association, we only really back or suggest that people, you know, really go towards any medications that have been FDA approved, right? Those medications that have gone through vigorous research so that this way they know that, you know, it's been gone through a lengthy clinical trial study and it's been reviewed by the FDA to make sure it's going to be beneficial. And if anyone ever has questions about that, they can always call our helpline and they can get more information about any medication that they may be interested in or maybe have heard through commercial ads like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people do. I mean, it's amazing the commercial ads and then all the warnings that they have to put on it at the end of it. It's just, it's like, nobody would ever take a drug in the world again if you really paid attention to it, everything that's going to happen to you. But I'm going to give out the hotline number again, which is 1-800-272-3900. And that's important for anybody to call. I mean, if you have a question, the whole concept of these hotlines, and they are so, so valuable, is you're not alone. Just call the number. You know, you may be in the very beginning of a situation and you catch it. And somebody on the other end is going to turn around and say, you know, you got to get your mom, your dad, whoever it happens to be, even if you're calling for yourself, to a doctor. You got to get ready to take the next step. Or, and sometimes, and I'm sure you get that too, you know, somebody can't find their keys. Well, that's just normal. You know, sometimes you put something down, you forget where you do it. You put down your cell phone half the time and you know, you look around for it, you don't know where it is. But again, that's just the way I believe, you know, people perceive it. Then they get very, very concerned and very nervous. But right now, we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Robles from the Alzheimer's Association.